And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Miocic defeats Cormier. Banks is back and we're about to crown a new King of the Ring. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, Canada's premier wrestling radio show, coming at you on TSN Radio and News Talk 1290. Jason Agnew here with you, but more importantly, pleased to be joined in studio live this week by Mark Andrade Cien Almas. Mark, you went to SmackDown with a 10-year-old.
Yeah, my nephew Jake. He's actually turning 11. He'll be 11 soon.
Okay, well,
so let's get that right.
Yeah, let's get that right for sure. So you got the experience from the eyes of a child, even more so than your own.
Well, he's almost a teenager. I'd call him a teen.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll hear more about that experience. And along with that on the show today, we're going to chat with Dave Meltzer. He's got the Wrestling Observer Extra, a special live edition of Turnbuckle Trivia that you, Mark Andrade, are an answer to.
Spoiler alert.
And your feedback. Taking a break and back with the news of the week, you are listening to Sunday night's main event.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event, a busy one in the world of wrestling and MMA, so let's get you guys caught up. A couple of announcements from WWE to kick off this week. First of all, I'm sure you saw on both Raw and SmackDown, the King of the Ring tournament returns and begins tomorrow. Participants in the tournament include, on the Raw side, The Miz, Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, Drew McIntyre, Cesaro, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, and Samoa Joe. On the SmackDown side, Elias, Kevin Owens, Chad Gable, Andrade, Shelton Benjamin, Buddy Murphy, Ali, and Apollo Crews. Mark, are you excited that this is coming back at all? Like, just the whole mystique of King of the Ring?
Yeah, I love a tournament. They bring it back every few years, and I always hope that it's going to mean something. Like, it's going to mean more than it sometimes does. Sometimes they bring it back and it's like, okay. Well.
Yeah, are you saying King Barrett didn't mean anything? He would have been the last king.
Who?
Exactly. I got bad news for you. That's who was the last king.
He was so good in that role,
man.
Too. What a shame.
He managed to turn... That is turning chicken feathers into chicken salad right there, because I can't say the other thing that I want to say.
That is not how that saying
Yeah,
goes.
Well, you know, we're on terrestrial, everyone. All right, but more news from WWE this week as well.
Another big and rather repetitive announcement from WWE this week is for SmackDown's debut on Fox on October 4th. It is now going to be a 20th anniversary show and feature superstars from the past. Names already announced include Kurt Angle, Lita, Mick Foley, Booker T, Hulk Hogan, Trish Stratus, Goldberg, Jerry the King Lawler, Mark Henry, Ric Flair, and Sting. The Undertaker was shown, but not officially announced. All in all, this looks like it's going to be Raw Reunion 2.0.
This really baffles my mind because you know what? This could have done very well. Well, as far as you go to Fox, you're doing SmackDown. We haven't seen a lot of these people for a while, mm-hmm. but instead, we just saw everybody 3 weeks ago. So it'll be like about 3 months from the time of Raw Reunion. How do you even make this different at all?
Some of these legends get slaughtered.
By?
Somebody.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Because
who could it be? Somebody.
That's what they did not do on Raw Reunion, right?
Yeah.
It was a solo show that did well as far as ratings went, but it didn't lead to anything. WWE doesn't have the forethought to trade that star power and shift it off. They really do need to do that here.
Yeah. Maybe Randy Orton. Randy Orton can bring back the legend killer and kill them all in one
yes.
night.
Yes. You know what?
That's the guy we
that
want.
That young
right?
up-and-comer Randy Orton.
I'm ready for him.
I think we're all ready for Randy Orton. That's what the world needs more of. Despite still having All Out in the foreground, AEW continues to sell out TV tapings as well as announce matches for those TV tapings. That's a novel concept. On the week two broadcast, that's going to be happening October the 9th, AEW announced Jon Moxley will take on Sean Spears. Now, this will join the already announced match of the Young Bucks versus Private Party.
I'm looking forward to that match. That'll be a lot of fun.
I think a lot of these matches are pretty interesting, and the fact that they're booking matches is something very different than what WWE is doing, which we'll get into, because even if you go back to the first week, Mark, they've got more matches announced here.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see. Like, we'll see how long they can sustain that. Like, how long can they keep booking matches for? Also, how long can they keep selling out? Like, that's going to be a fun game.
Did you get tickets? You're kind of known as the ticket guy.
I am?
Yeah, on this show.
Oh, cool.
You continually, you know, Joe Aguinaldo got in line for this one and was trying to get tickets for, I think, the Boston show. Did you try for tickets for any of these?
No, I didn't try. That's too much, because I already have tickets to New Japan Fighting Spirit.
Okay.
And then I have tickets to the first AEW television taping.
Okay.
So, in Washington. So that's, those two are right next to each other. That's the 28th and the 3rd. So that's just a trip to New York and then a drive over to Washington.
Gotcha.
And then quickly get home. So.
And speaking of that first show,
Cody will take on Sammy Guevara in the first ever match on TNT, and the show will be main evented by the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho and two mystery partners. They will also crown the first ever AEW Women's Champion on the show. This will happen in a match that will feature the winner of the All Out Casino Battle Royal versus an opponent. We just don't know who that opponent is or how they will be selected just yet. We don't know yet.
On week three, October 16th, that is, emanating from Philadelphia, AEW announced two title defenses on that show. Both the AEW men's and women's titles will be defended for the first time on that TV event. It's really interesting because I'm wondering if this is going to change Raw and SmackDown and what WWE does, because we're actually now seeing it, because they have released the brackets of the King of the Ring, so we do know what matches are coming up there. And I'm wondering if that is partially in response to AEW doing all of this and letting people know what they're in for, because there's been so many years of just like, Raw's coming to your town, SmackDown's coming to your town. A lot of the time, they don't advertise anything on it.
Nope, they just have a picture of a generic picture of some of the WWE superstars, and that's what you get.
So it's a bit of a different strategy, an old time strategy, really, in regards to what AEW is doing here.
Yeah, I like it. I like knowing what I like having that anticipation. You know, feeling like, oh, that's what's going to happen. I better watch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, would anything draw you in? Because I think this is going to get harder and harder to do because they are going week to week. For instance, I mean, the fact that you're going to get the men's and women's titles both defended on television, that actually I'm kind of questioning, because what's to say, I would think that maybe in this organization those titles should be held off from being defended on TV.
Right. I see what you're saying, but since it's so early going, and what would that be, the third episode?
Yeah, the third episode.
So maybe that's the one special time that they're defended on television, and because... Also, because they're announcing it, it feels special already.
Oh, it does feel special. There's no question. So it's like you hit this level of everything has to feel special, and then it's special on top of special, and then all of a sudden you're always defending these titles on television, much like what the pattern WWE has fallen into, where I think that can actually be diminishing returns.
Yes.
Is really what I'm thinking.
I agree. But if you keep those titles special, then you start maybe defending the tag titles more often on television, or you start defending another, like the Intercontinental type title,
which they don't have yet.
I'm sure they'll get one.
But there's a whole nother discussion in regards to, do you want more titles? Right now you have the men's, the women's, and the tag, right?
Right.
And they're, again, all very special. That word keeps coming up. The more titles you have isn't necessarily for the best.
Well, I think a TV title, and this is what I've always felt.
I can see that, yeah.
It's a TV title, whether that be the name of it, the TV title,
right,
or if it's some sort of Intercontinental or North America, whatever you want to call it, that's the title that is the TV program, and that's the one that's focused on television every week that you know will either be defended or, you know, there'll be a match with that champion at some point on television.
You know, having said that, you actually don't have a TV title out there right now.
Right.
So that does, in a way, make it special.
I always like that name, TV title.
It's got alliteration going for it, at least.
You get a huge belt and you make the gold plate on it look like a television.
We were doing so well here. We were doing so well. Get back to the news. Continue
on. Oh, you
didn't
like that idea?
Let's talk about something else that some people have considered questionable in regards to what AEW is doing.
It was also confirmed this past week on Being the Elite that Orange Cassidy has signed with All Elite Wrestling. He's already wrestled for the promotion once before, taking part in the Casino Battle Royal on the Double or Nothing pre-show in May.
Do you like Orange Cassidy?
I like Orange Cassidy. I'm one of those that likes Orange Cassidy.
So I saw a clip this week with Orange Cassidy where he was on a Segway. Have you seen this clip? He's on a Segway. Yes. He's going over a bridge, and he just hops off the bridge into the water with his hands in his pockets.
He's a great comedy guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He doesn't. I'm not saying Orange Cassidy should be challenging for the title.
No, no.
I'll watch Orange Cassidy, you know, come up with this silly thing that he does for the next few months.
Sure.
And if he can't make it fresh after a few months, then, like, maybe lean off of him a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's good for a couple of months at least.
Well, I just think that there's value to different points of the card. And, again, I've always said it. The reason why I call things one of the podcasts mid-card comedy is because that's where comedy belongs, in the mid-card. You don't need it in your main events.
Yeah.
And one of the real problems with, you know, Seth Rollins continually trying to be funny, it's just not as a funny person, right?
When was he trying to be funny?
Exactly.
Was he really trying to be funny?
He has tried to be funny, and it's him and Becky. They try to be funny together.
Ugh.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
So
not good at it.
Yeah, let's keep it in the mid-card. Orange Cassidy, I'm curious to see how much they utilize him and where he falls in. To no one's surprise, speaking of WWE main event, Roman Reigns has signed a new multi-year deal with the company.
I'm shocked.
But more interestingly, WWE also announced a new series of signees at the Performance Center. I want to spotlight two of them. Notable names include Evolving WWE champion Austin Theory, who was shown at ringside at TakeOver. Mm-hmm. But Mark, more importantly, someone that I have been talking about for literally years,
mm-hmm.
Santana Garrett has been signed. She, of course, took part in the 2017 Mae Young Classic, was eliminated in the first round for no apparent reason, because she was eliminated by Piper Niven, who they also did not sign.
Who I liked.
I like, don't get me wrong.
I like Piper a lot.
I like Piper a lot, too. But Piper is not signed with the company, to my knowledge, at this point.
No.
Probably should be as well, because
it's
a different style character. But I love Santana Garrett. I'm a huge fan of Santana Garrett.
I can tell you're very excited about
this. I think I've been talking about it for so long. It's like watching Wonder Woman. She's like one, like, yeah. Her character is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Her character, I think she kind of had this look first, too, before, because Mickie James took it on for a while, and I'm like, ooh, that's really close to Santana Garrett. But I don't want to change her. I don't want her name changed. I just want to see her in NXT. And here we go. Santana Garrett time starts now.
Starts now. For those of you that were wondering why Paige wasn't ringside to see the Kabuki Warriors lose clean to Nikki and Alexa this week, well, it's not because she was angered at the terrible booking, but more so, she had to undergo another neck surgery. According to her Twitter, the surgery was a success, and Paige said she'll be back managing Asuka and Kairi Sane in no time.
The Kabuki Warriors. I gave you that news item for a reason.
I don't like that name. I don't like it at all.
It was confirmed on this past week's NXT UK episode that Dave Mastiff will face Joe Coffey in a last man standing match at the next TakeOver show. The main event of that show will be a David versus Goliath style match as Walter defends his title against Tyler Bate. UK TakeOver Cardiff is being held on Saturday, August 31st, because we don't have enough that day. Of course, NJPW Royal Quest and All Elite Wrestling's All Out are both also taking place that very same day. That is a lot to cover on a Saturday. And then, Mark, that is also the night that we are going to do Sunday night's main event on a Saturday with myself, Joe Aguinaldo, and Dan Lavransky on TSN Radio Live, taking phone calls after All Out.
That's great. I'll call in.
Great.
Yeah. Then you'll be in trouble.
Okay, you're going to be there. No, you are you at that one?
No.
Oh, you're not at that
Should
one.
I go?
Well, you are the ticket guy.
All right. I'll make a few phone calls.
Good stuff.
LAX, Santana, and Ortiz wrestled their final match for Impact Wrestling at their latest TV tapings in Mexico. Santana had posted a thank you note on his Twitter, which also stated they had finished up with the promotion. Both WWE and AEW have shown their interest in the pair.
Where do you think?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think AEW.
You think it's going to be AEW, huh?
I feel as though there's even more pressure and more emphasis on AEW's part to get this tag division rolling.
Yes.
And put a ton of prestige on this division because WWE tends to ignore it.
Yeah.
And these guys, have been tremendous in their latest run with with Impact.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing too, is that if you look at your choices, if I were these guys, you look at a company like WWE that has proven track record with their tag teams
of garbage,
Yes. And even when they say we're going to put an emphasis on tag teams, and then this is what we get, versus AEW, which two of the guys running it are the Young Bucks.
Yes, that's exactly
so
it.
You just would imagine, right?
You want that. You know that that division will be taken care of very well. Let me throw this at you, though. Are these two big enough to be the pairing to be with Chris Jericho in that main event?
Yes.
They are.
I think so.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think that the Jericho thing, there's a lot of rumors about Neville being one of the guys.
Okay, I see what you're doing.
And I actually think that if you're going to do any nostalgia, and listen, I know this rumor is floating around, and this is something that I immediately thought, and he has talked about it. You know who?
Randy Orton.
Okay. Shut up. Lance Storm is what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're doing.
Lance Storm for the old Thrill Seekers thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, continuing
Randy
on.
Randy Orton would be very good in AEW.
Yeah, well, really, you know what? That would be huge, Mark. You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean? With everything that he's been... Am I talking too much about this?
No, it makes complete sense. For those of you that heard about Shibata making his way back into the ring, well, be assured that it was just part of an angle to cement Kenta's heel turn. He is not and will not be cleared to return to in-ring competition, but then again, never say never in the world of wrestling. Remember when Edge was never going to be cleared to come back into the ring?
Just be careful, everybody.
This is, this is a little bit different. This was a brain injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, nonetheless, should not be doing this.
I think multiple times, though, called Edge's neck a stack of dimes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to see a stack of dimes.
He said he can do a match, feels like he can do a match tomorrow. We'll talk about that later in the show.
Okay. Ring of Honor is doing something fun as the company has announced that the Briscoes will defend their titles against the Rock and Roll Express at Honor for All in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday, August 25th. The show is taking place at the Nashville Fairgrounds Sports Arena and will air live on Honor Club. If you remember, this is a rematch from last year's, or this year's rather, Crockett Cup. From when, if I remember correctly, Ricky, or was it Robert, performed a tope suicido outside to the outside at an age. He's over 60 years old.
They're over 60 years old. It was absolutely insane. But the thing is, they had a fun match. And I mean, if I'm Ring of Honor right now, who's having a really tough time drawing audiences, I'll go with the nostalgia, you know. And
is this nostalgia, or is this watching a near 70-year-old man perform a tope? Come one, come all, and watch this geriatric man.
If you remember, wrestling did begin in the carnival, and this is a bit of a carnival attraction for us here.
Big time it is.
It was announced that AAA's Invading New York show on September 15th has been moved from Madison Square Garden to the smaller Hulu Theater at MSG. Both venues are owned by the Madison Square Garden Company. The Hulu Theater lists a capacity of 5,600 people. Now, those who have already purchased tickets, do you have this? No, you don't have this one, right, Mark? They will be guaranteed a new seat assignment of equal or greater value. Apparently, they only had about 2,000 tickets sold. And AAA also announced, though, for this event, as well as their L.A. event, Kane Velasquez will be a part of the shows. The L.A. event happening on October the 13th.
I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if AEW chimed in on this.
You mean to be a
because
part?
There's a partnership, right, with AAA and AEW.
Oh,
and if
man.
AEW just as like a what would you call that, like a big play. Let AAA do this, and then went, oh, by the way, we'll be there.
I can see the logo, AAAEW.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You make the shirt right now. Pro Wrestling Tees, get on it. And that's you. They fill Madison Square Garden. They sell the damn thing out like that.
They would, right? You'd think that they would.
I mean, it's September 15th, so they're in the midst of a lot. I mean, they're 2 weeks
after. The timing wasn't good.
That's probably why, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks after All Out. And again, they got to be careful about they're already going into doing basically an event quarterly to doing events weekly.
Yeah.
The last thing they need. This would complicate their world. They got to be careful.
It's too bad. It's right. It's too bad that the timing was bad.
Yeah.
Because if this was at a different time and they had pulled that move, what would that have looked like?
Because especially, you have WWE going into MSG. Tickets did not sell well.
No.
So this is really on your own turf, Vince.
Yeah.
We're coming in with guns a-blazing, middle fingers up. and we're here. Get used to it.
Yeah, and they would have been saving AAA.
Yeah.
They would have made AAA. I mean, anyway, that would have been great.
Would have been interesting, but glad that they didn't.
In a sad note, Eddie Marlin, the longtime wrestler, road manager, and television authority figure for Jarrett Promotions and Tennessee Wrestling, passed away at the age of 89. Marlin was in hospice care with multiple organ failures.
Flipping on over to the world of MMA, a couple notes here. First of all, as you may have heard, in last night's UFC event, Stipe Miocic regained his heavyweight championship by defeating Daniel Cormier by TKO at 4-9 of round 4. And Nate Diaz defeated Anthony Pettis by unanimous decision. Cormier was interviewed by Joe Rogan after the match and was considering, shall we say, retirement, but did not confirm it. Said he had to go talk to his wife. Also, one more story here to cap things off. Our crazy Conor McGregor story of the week. And Mark, I know you'll appreciate this because it involves whiskey. since he's not fighting in the octagon, he's fighting in a bar. TMZ released a video from April 6th, so a while ago. No sound. It shows McGregor giving out whiskey shots in a bar in Dublin. I'm wondering if they were proper 12. When a man was sitting at a bar, he refused it twice. McGregor became agitated and punched the man with the left hand before being escorted out. The weird thing here is he was regarded as an older man, and the guy didn't appear to be bleeding and just stayed at the bar.
Yeah.
Stayed at the bar after that.
He probably had enough to drink.
Well, yeah.
So. Gotta,
as I, you know what, as I was thinking here, you occasionally will purchase some shots, and when people say no, it works out for you because you just do those shots as well.
Yeah, and then I go punch people. Where's the closest old man?
And it's normally me beside you.
I'm just kidding. Jake, don't punch people. I know you're listening.
Who?
My nephew.
Oh, right. That's right. Just because you mentioned him, he's going to listen to this? Do we have to be careful?
No.
It's okay.
The radio.
Yeah, we're on terrestrial.
Yeah.
Don't let him listen to the patron feed.
Okay.
Alrighty, we're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. We are going to talk about the King of the Ring, make some predictions, and along with that, Sasha Banks is back this week. They really pulled a doozy upon that return. We'll chat about it next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Dan the Mouth Lebranski.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old fucks. Tough guy!
Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And it's been 1 year today since my dad died. What?
Oh my! Could it be? It is! It's gosh time!
Oh!
Oh my God!
Surprise. What the hell?
Surprise! Sasha Banks attacking Natalya!
I've been telling everybody all along.
Sasha Banks returning on Monday night. That was a clip interrupting Natalya, of course, in Toronto, while talking about her deceased father on the one-year anniversary. Classy is what we call WWE. Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event here on TSN Radio. Mark, I hated it. I'll just throw it. I think it's failed. I think it was a terrible idea. I don't think it got any heat, and I hate how they brought her back.
What? You think Sasha's return has failed?
Yes.
I disagree.
Why?
Because she's back.
Okay.
So then, therefore, it is a success. She has successfully come back.
She has successfully returned to television.
Thank you. That's
okay.
All I wanted to hear.
Okay, great. So the angle, perhaps, yeah. It could have been done better, is really what I'm saying. I'm not even saying this as a fantasy booker. I'm just watching that segment and going, oh, that's what you did after all this hype?
You know, it's so funny that the WWE seems to think that we're going to, like, be mad at Sasha for coming back and doing this to Natalya Neidhart. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, how dare she? How dare she come back and attack Natty when on the year anniversary of her father's passing while she's talking about her father? Like we would blame Sasha for that. Like everybody would just think somehow Sasha. No, nobody thinks that. Everybody thinks the WWE is a trashy garbage organization for making their performers do that. Are you all out of your minds? Do you really think that we believe that?
I think that there's a bit of the designation between fans who follow this program and watch wrestling like we do,
sure,
as opposed to perhaps the yahoos that were sitting around you at the SmackDown taping, which we will talk about in the next segment, who are more so the common fans and the lowest common denominator is how I refer to those fans.
Even those fans, I don't think would put that on Sasha. I don't think that they would be like, I can't believe Sasha would do that. Like, you don't watch a Marvel movie and go, I can't believe Thanos would come back and snap his fingers. Like, I can't believe he would do that. Like, nobody thinks.
You blame the creators who scripted it that
exactly.
way. Yeah, that's
even the dumbest person on the planet would be like, oh, I don't like what this is.
Yeah. Also, on top of that, for this particular angle, like, not just the idea of bringing her back to turn her on Natty during this speech, the execution of the angle was actually poor. Because, first of all, the music hits. But so you immediately think, number one, it should be a big pop for the music, and then you want the turn.
Yes.
But because of the position where the music was thrown out when she started talking about Jim Neidhart, immediately it's like, ooh, this is awkward.
Yeah.
It's not heat. It's like, oh, I was a bit invested in that. Natty's going into one of her, the 1 year anniversary. This is notable.
Yeah.
Now I'm hearing this music. Wait, do I cheer? I don't know if I should cheer. I want to, but I can't. So you have a crowd that's immediately confused. Then Sasha gets into the ring, hugs Natty. Well, we're confused again, and then hits her. So then you get the turnaround, but you don't get the turnaround from immediate, yay, boo. You get, ooh, awkward, oh, boo. And then, to top things off, she takes off the wig.
First of all, the moment she came out, I was like, what the heck's wrong with her head? What's wrong with her head? What did she do? And then she pulled it off and it was a wig, and I was like, really? That's the reveal we
had? Why is that a thing? Does that mean anything?
It means nothing. Just come out with blue hair if
sure.
you want blue hair. She used to dye her hair different colors all the time.
Who cares?
Ugh.
It means nothing.
No.
So many elements meant nothing, and it's just so easy. Like, I do think that Sasha, as I've watched her career, is a better heel than a baby face.
Absolutely.
So if you do want to bring her back as a heel, you're going to get a pop. And I understand how they do think that you bring a character back, the crowd is going to cheer. But did the writers think, we don't want that cheer, so that's why we're throwing her out in this angle to immediately make it awkward for fans? And they thought that was a good thing?
Well, here's the thing. If they thought that was going to work, then that just goes to show you how much they don't know about wrestling or wrestling fans. Period.
I agree. This is nothing new.
No.
Coming back to a huge pop is nothing new.
No. No. It's going to happen every time. Well,
now,
maybe not every time.
Listen,
some people that I...
I don't see Baron Corbin for 3 months and he comes back, I ain't cheering.
Yeah. He's not going to get a pop when he comes back.
But she was a fan favorite. And so now she comes back immediately... not in as strong a position as she could have been if this was done slightly better, is facing off against Becky Lynch. I mean, the one good thing I'll say about this is the fact that Becky needed an actual opponent here of a high stature, and that's what Sasha does fill in with.
Right. Well, I mean, they'll have a good match, right?
I think they'll have a good feud.
Yeah.
I just think it got off to a real rocky start.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole thing is written like, you know, what a bunch of fools. Get out of here. I could write it better with pencil lead in my toenail.
Okay.
Is that too much?
Well, no, I kind of believe you. It's like a My Left Foot thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's the remake. Don't give him any ideas. So, the King of the Ring was also announced on Monday night, and you like this.
I do.
Okay, I like
you
a tournament
like
too. I like a tournament too.
Yeah,
it was actually brought up on the Midweek Markout this week. Ken, who is in studio with me this week, brought up. He's like, "I like it, but I want to know if this is for a gimmick or if this is for a push." Because Sheamus, Wade Barrett, Those are gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back to someone like, oh, who's a great example that really used the king to their advantage? Didn't like Edge get it?
Ken Shamrock?
Brock Lesnar? Did Ken Shamrock have it? Was he the king of the ring or did he lose?
I thought he had it, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. But, you know.
I was making a joke anyway.
King of the Ring was previously used before Money in the Bank. It was, we're attaching, you should have said Billy Gunn or Mabel. Now that it hits
you're
me,
right.
I'm like the worst Kings of the Rings. But
no,
it was,
King Mabel was sick.
Okay. It was previously used to really push someone and put the rocket on the back of someone. And it has been reported, it was Meltzer that reported, and we'll ask him coming up next hour, this was done for someone.
Yeah.
Who was this done for?
King Corbin, buddy.
Oh, boy.
King Corbin.
You know what? If it had been 4 months ago, I would have agreed with you 100% that it would have been King Corbin. But I think if Heyman's running Raw, I don't think it's for King Corbin.
Yeah? You don't think
no.
so, eh? King Drew, then. King
I
McIntyre.
Do think so. I do think so.
Yeah.
It could very well be Drew McIntyre. It's interesting because the other two kings that I named, the most recent two, Sheamus and Barrett, Scottish, English.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. Now we have, I guess we go back to, oh, sorry, Irish, English. Now we go to Scottish.
Now we go to Scottish.
So we have a Scottish king now.
Yeah.
I do think that it's been said and people continue to like Drew McIntyre. I don't get it.
No, he's wallpaper a little bit, right?
It's not just me. You too?
Yeah.
I don't like, I didn't like his impact run, and everyone's like, oh, it was so great in impact. He evolved beyond WWE.
Yeah.
But I don't care for his promos, and I guess he's a good worker and he's big, but I don't, he's not that much better. Ready? Because okay. People will be upset.
Okay.
Not that much better than Baron Corbin to me.
Really? Yeah, I
don't
mean,
care.
You know what? I like Baron Corbin more than I like Drew McIntyre. I'll put that out there.
I like him. Okay, I would say Drew more in the ring, but Baron on the mic for sure.
That's what I'm talking about. Because at least Baron is like, this guy. But Drew is kind of like, this guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Really, nothing.
So maybe this is great, and maybe it's not about a gimmick or a push. Maybe those don't have to be mutually exclusive. Maybe it's a gimmick and a push.
The gimmick is tough. I mean, to make the gimmick work in the modern day to be called King and not be goofy with it, unless you can make the goofy work, because Booker T is a really great example of who he reinvigorated his whole career by doing comedy, but also, man, he was just so good at it.
Yeah, he's just very good. He's just very good.
I don't
at
know
it.
If he's very good.
He's good.
At that character.
At that
was.
Character, yeah.
Okay,
but I mean,
at
as Booker,
character.
As being Booker T, I mean, on what are we talking about? Commentary? Yeah, okay, no, not good.
Yeah, bad. Okay.
But raising his pinky finger in the air.
And Queen Charmel.
And that weird British accent?
That's right.
Was that what that was?
I don't know. But that was part of the charm of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was just doing his best.
Yeah. So they've released the brackets. And kudos to WWE for actually throwing out the brackets. So on the Raw side of things, and here's because one of the determining factors in what we're talking about, I think two of the favorites are facing off in the first round. One of them, as we discussed, being Drew McIntyre. The other one has King in his Twitter handle, and it's King Ricochet.
Oh.
Right? So they're facing in the first round, along with that Cesaro, Samoa Joe, Cedric Alexander, Sami Zayn, The Miz, Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin.
So that is, I don't see Corbin. I mean, Corbin could I would not be surprised if they tease Corbin all the way, but it wouldn't make sense with Drew McIntyre.
No, because then you'd have to make Drew McIntyre a babyface, right?
On the other side of things, it's Owens and Elias, Ali and Buddy Murphy, Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, Apollo Crews, and Andrade.
What's going on with Chad Gable? Think it'll be Chad Gable?
No. I don't think it can be Chad Gable.
Your face right now.
We need TV for this. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't see much for it. It is interesting, though.
But it's interesting to have him back.
Well, it's interesting to put him in the ring with Shelton Benjamin, who became his tag team partner, right?
Yeah.
After, why am I forgetting his name? Because I haven't. Kurt Angle's son, Jason Jordan.
Oh, Jason Jordan.
I was forgetting his name. But, you know, after Jason Jordan was ousted, it put Gable and Benjamin together. Well, two tag partners. So there is a story to be told there. I can't see Shelton Benjamin. I mean, listen, if they want to restart someone and use this as, you know, to really make it a whole separate gimmick, and then you're looking at the Chad Gables of the world or
King Gable. There's a ring to it.
Buddy Murphy's of the world. Because Buddy Murphy, I mean, he's kind of riding high off what happened this week with
Absolutely.
Roman Reigns.
You got to change that. I don't know. King Buddy?
King Murphy?
King Murphy's better. King Buddy? Can you
Buddy
imagine?
King?
But the Buddy King.
Oh, man. I don't know.
The Batty King.
I could also see, you know, I've been big on Kevin Owens winning Money in the Bank at some point, because Money in the Bank is something where you need mic skills in order to really make it work.
Yes.
And I mean, this could be a version of that for Kevin Owens, but I think it would be such a, they would make him so goofy. They would actually make fun of him if they gave him a robe, a scepter, a crown, etc.
Yeah, I bet he could make it work, though. I bet he'd make it work.
I'd be curious to see it.
Yeah. And it'd be the king versus the best in the world. Because that feud's still going, isn't it?
Is this still going?
I think so.
Are we not done with that yet?
You just fined him $100,000.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
He needs to put his kids through college or whatever.
I didn't like that. But we're going to talk about that in the next segment. Because you were there live for that.
I was.
With your cousin. Sorry, your nephew. You're with your nephew.
Yeah.
And you got the younger perspective on how fans perceive wrestling.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Whoa. Before this turns into a melee and you get hurt, I just want you to know that we've been conducting our own investigation. And next week, we'll bring you the culprit.
And that is just a sample of what Mark Andrade got to see on SmackDown this week, which was the final show out of, I think, 12 shows in a row in Toronto, right? Is that how WWE rolls into town and does now?
Yeah, 12?
I don't know, like four shows in a row, back to back to back. You went to three out of four. You didn't go to Raw, right?
I went to three out of four.
So three out of four. You still went to SmackDown. Why did you choose to go to SmackDown?
I had my nephew Jake.
Okay.
Our nephew Jake was with us, so yep. we brought him to SmackDown. We took him to see the show.
You got to see. Is he into the whodunit angle? Do you like the whodunit angle? Does anyone like the whodunit angle?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting somewhere, right? Is it getting somewhere?
We'll find out this week.
I mean, I don't love how long they're. It feels like they're dragging it out a bit, but I mean, you know. There's two sides to this. One side is, you know, we didn't want them to rush. Daniel Bryan, they don't want to rush Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns.
Okay.
And so now that it's taking a while, we're also kind of complaining about it.
I think that happens a lot.
But I just don't think that this is the kind of taking a while that we wanted.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, just get to it and then make it. Or is it not him? Maybe it's somebody else.
We still don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, one thing that has come out that I'll give WWE kudos, it was a mistake that Buddy Murphy was shown in that video.
Was it?
Well, that's what I've heard. It was a mistake that it was shown in he was shown in the video, so they turned it into an angle.
Right.
And for Buddy Murphy's sake, it worked out. I mean, he got a match with Roman Reigns on SmackDown that people are all gaga over how great it was. And he got a match on SmackDown. We can just put a period at the end of that, because that was his first match.
Yes.
Since he was moved there.
Yeah.
This is a guy that was the Cruiserweight champion for an extended period of time.
Yep.
And hasn't really been given the time of day on SmackDown.
Yep.
So he's on TV now. So that's good.
That is good.
But this angle itself, I mean, the whodunit, I'm not fully into it.
Can we take a moment to talk about that Roman Reigns Buddy Murphy match, though? That was a great match.
It was good, yeah.
People really, really loved that match. And being there live, it was a good, like, watching that, great, great match.
Do you think this helps Buddy Murphy?
I would hope so. Okay. I would hope so. He has such a great match with Roman Reigns. I would imagine that Roman Reigns is like, hey, this was a great match. Let's do this more, maybe, hopefully. Yes?
I don't know. I still have my doubts. I'm just wondering I'm still waiting to see someone come off the 205 Live roster and shed the stink of 205 Live.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. Cedric Alexander, trying with Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy, but immediately putting them in questionable positions. You know, Cedric Alexander had that feud. I think he might still be in it with Drew McIntyre, right? So there you do have them facing, you know, main event guys. You know, Roman definitely main event. Drew McIntyre, okay, kind of up there. But after that, will they be taken seriously? Will they be given a chance? Can they develop a character? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know really much about Buddy Murphy or Cedric Alexander, for that matter.
He doesn't like being choked.
Who doesn't?
Buddy Murphy.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that? You guys have been choked by two different people.
That's true. That's true. So, I don't... Well, who does... I don't know. I don't get it. Who does like...
You better keep
moving. Let's just stay away. Move along. Move along. But I'm just curious if they're going to be able to remove themselves from that and not always be perceived as the 205 Live guy that is now on SmackDown.
I think the lucky thing is that since nobody really watches 205 Live, that it's easy to forget about the fact that they were on 205 Live.
Buddy Murphy did have a great moment, though, because let's remember, I mean, he had the Super Showdown moment where Buddy Murphy, I think, like, match of the night, and where he won the Cruiserweight Championship in his home country. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it can be done.
It can be done. But it just doesn't get done.
Yes. There's a lot of that. Yeah. So you were there live. What did you think of this show?
It's for a wrestling show, you really feel that there's not a lot of wrestling.
Okay.
And that's the thing that, like, I was saying this to you off air, like, who is this, like, who is this for? Like, what's happening here? Because there's a lot of moments where, like, there's just not a lot, there's nothing going on. And you start the show with almost an hour of talking.
Okay.
You know, and Kevin Owens is talking, and then Shane McMahon is talking, everybody talks. It's like, it's a lot of not wrestling for a wrestling show. And you really feel it when you're there live for one of these TV tapings. SummerSlam was arguably the other side of the fence. There was too much. The show was too long.
Well, actually, and that show wasn't that long, comparatively speaking. I was out of there at 10:30.
I know, comparatively speaking. But and this is what I was saying about how if you're there with an 11-year-old, a near 11-year-old, and, you know, Jake was like, there were moments where, you know, maybe it was a little too long for somebody that age.
At SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
Okay,
yeah.
SummerSlam, yeah. And then how did he take to what was happening at SmackDown?
I mean, he loved Roman Reigns. He was so funny. There were guys around us screaming, Roman Reigns sucks. And Jake would just yell back, no, you suck. Just really entertaining for me.
Right.
And entertaining for everybody around us. He really enjoyed it. Like, he enjoyed when there was wrestling in the ring, when there was a lot of talking. I'm not sure. I'd have to ask him.
Well, I think part of that is, you know, the TV taping versus a pay-per-view or going to a house show, you know, I think would be kind of...
I think a house show would be perfect.
More fun for someone of that age.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you mentioned, you know, who are these for? These are for wrestling fans who follow the television week to week, and that's what they're there for. More so than seeing the matches, they want to see the storylines push along and progress.
You think so, eh?
Yeah, I do.
Well, but, I mean, couldn't they progress the storylines with some stuff in the ring?
Yeah, they could, but the problem is they have so much time. They have so much time to put stuff in the ring, and then you get... They do. So much television each week.
Okay.
So much television.
Yeah.
Along with that, we saw on the women's side of things.
I'm just saying that if they spent a little more time wrestling in the ring, then maybe they wouldn't have to write so much bad dialogue.
But if you spend time wrestling in the ring, the audience will also disconnect if the wrestling matches don't necessarily mean anything and become repetitive.
Well, then, but these wrestlers, these are very talented performers.
Yeah.
Let the performers shine at what they do.
But if you continually see the same performers every week in the ring wrestling the same other guy?
Sure, but why does it have to be those same performers wrestling the other guy? That's a deep roster.
You're right, that's a deep roster, and we just keep seeing the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah, I know.
That's part of the issue as well.
Yeah.
There's many issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Many issues here as well.
Are we fighting?
We're not fighting. We have different perspectives.
I don't want to fight with you.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen.
What?
You never know. Charlotte beating Ember Moon. You saw this. I'm guessing that it's Charlotte versus Bayley next. Mm-hmm. Is that at all interesting to you?
I suppose it's more interesting than Charlotte versus Trish.
And it's, what? What do you mean? You didn't like that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't like the build, but what about the match?
Yes.
What?
No.
That was my match of the night.
Really?
I love that match.
You're out of your mind.
Dude, that was the best match on the card for me watching that.
You've lost your mind.
You've lost your mind. Listen, it happened at the wrong time, but let's consider.
Absolutely, it did, for sure. Running order-wise, it was in a bad spot.
I didn't even mean that. I meant storyline-wise. I thought happened at the wrong time. I thought it should have happened a long time ago when Charlotte had her seventh title, and then Trish comes out, or she calls out Trish because no one's had it more than seven times, right?
Yeah, sure.
But Charlotte's beyond that now because they're bound and determined to get her up to Ric Flair's number. Anyhow, but in regards to that match, you look at Trish, who's coming out of retirement and stepping into the ring for the first time since, and this is a singles match, so really since the first time since she's gone away.
Yeah.
That match was a bit, perhaps, it was definitely laid out. But what I loved about it was you can come back and you can do all of your cheap pop spots. Trish can come out and point to the sky if she wants and really get away with not doing that much. Did you notice her bump, though? She was killing herself out there.
Yeah.
And those two worked together really, really well. So for a match that was basically built upon nostalgia, maybe my expectations were slightly lowered, but I thought that it was tremendous.
Well, there you go. I'll rewatch it. I'm going to rewatch it now because
you watched it.
I was there,
live. Yeah.
And in terms of running order, I was like, this is about when I needed a break. Like, this is when it was like, but I didn't have to go to the bathroom, so I didn't get up, and I wasn't hungry, so I didn't go. You know what I mean? I didn't need a drink. Like, I was like, well, I'm just going to sit here then, I guess.
Oh, man. No, that was my highlight of SummerSlam.
I'm going to rewatch it.
Okay. I do find I lose a lot going live. I prefer to watch wrestling on television.
Really?
I do. I like being there in the crowd to a degree, but overall, I'm a big fan of watching it on TV. I like the commentary.
Not
necessarily this commentary, but generally, I like the commentary when you at least get, you know what's coming next. And at a TV taping,
I get what
you're kind of lost in regards to what's happening, right? Because you're looking up at a screen occasionally, they'll have like coming up, but then all of a sudden they're throwing you a vignette. And it's like, to me, the pattern is kind of all thrown off at a TV taping because the purpose for a TV taping is just that.
It's for television, yeah.
Whereas, again, we mentioned the house show, you're going to be more entertained. Watching a house show on television is not good. Watching a house show live, that's where you're kind of into it, where the performers are not playing for the cameras, they're playing for the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a huge difference.
Yeah, I get it.
SmackDown, you also got to see the fact that Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston and their feud will be continuing. And this will go on to, I guess, whatever the next paper, Clash of Champions. They're going to wrestle once again.
Yeah,
you love Randy Orton.
You don't like this feud?
Kofi's just holding on to this because Brock Lesnar's going for him. My theory is coming true.
Yeah,
my theory's happening, and you think
it's going to be Brock is going to take it from Kofi?
I do. I think that's going to, and I think we saw the beginnings of that on Raw this week.
Yeah,
when it was told that Brock cannot get another title shot against Seth Rollins.
Yes, I agree. Here's what I think's going to happen. I think that Randy will take the title from Kofi before Brock gets to SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
Hear me out.
Okay.
You're smiling like I'm coming up with one of my wacky theories.
But
and
you're
I'm
not.
Telling
this
you this time
serious?
This is a
okay.
real one.
Yeah.
So then Brock comes in to a big pop, like a baby face, because Randy's a champ, to take the belt from Randy.
Yeah.
And Randy beats him. And then that's your legend killer. And then he takes that title down to NXT and slaughters all of them.
Right.
He's like, I hate indie wrestling. I hate you all. And then he kills all the NXT people. And then he has the NXT belt. We're elevating the NXT belt now and bringing it up to SmackDown.
What, you know
with
what?
Two titles.
You know what? Here's the thing. The NXT belt needs to be pushed because now, and we're going to talk about this in the very next segment, the NXT belt might be finding its way onto the USA Network. Never mind FS1. The USA Network. But it's not going to be Randy Orton.
So you're saying I'm right.
We're taking a break.
Saying I'm right.
We are coming back It is Sunday night's main event. Meltzer is next right here on TSN Radio.
Let's ask Meltzer.
Well, that's hour one of Sunday night's main event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, turnbuckle trivia, feedback, and often the triple threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start at for as little as $4 a month. And that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.